This KABU program is made possible in part by KABU Foundation members and a grant from Tucci Ristorante, an Italian dining house honoring the memory of Mary Cipolla Matucci and the spirit of the Lido restaurant in which she worked for 50 years. Tucci Ristorante features sustainable Northwest ingredients, drinks in the Lido bar, and is open every day in downtown Lake Oswego. Information at tucci.biz. That's TUCCI.BIZ.
Good morning. This is Kathleen Stevenson. Welcome to Art Focus. I'm sitting in today, and my guests are Denise Mullen, president of Oregon College of Art and Craft and a practicing artist. Denise, welcome to KABU. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
And also with us is Carl Berkheimer, chair of the MFA in Craft program at Oregon College of Art and Craft, or OCAC, and a practicing artist. Welcome, Carl. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
We're going to be talking about Oregon College of Art and Craft and about some of the issues that may be discussed at the public forum on Thursday evening this week. It's called Conversations on Craft. Denise, for people who might not know too much about OCAC, tell us a little about it.
Well, the college is 108 years old. It was founded in 1907, and it was originally the Arts and Crafts Society, and it was founded, as was the entire arts and crafts movement across Europe and the U.S., in reaction to the Industrial Revolution. It has stayed very true to that focus on making with materials as the definition of craft through the years. And that has sometimes been in favor, sometimes been out of favor. The way we see it today at OCAC is that craft is the very heart of art and design, that there's really not a distinction. And the curriculum is based on working with materials. We have 7 studio areas, and the students develop certainly proficiency and capability in working with materials, but it's always at the service of their ideas. So there is always a strong conceptual, possibly sophisticated conceptual framework in which they work.
So we already get into one of the issues in art and craft, and idea and craft or technique is something that we probably will talk about a little bit more in this interview.
I assume so.
Now, you've been president for how many years?
This is my 5th year.
Talk a little bit about your own mission and how you lead the college.
Well, there were 3 things that initially attracted me to OCAC. One was the fact that the institution, with changing faculty, changing board members, changing supporters in the community, had always stayed very true and committed to the idea of craft. And the other was its location in Portland, because Portland is a community that really embraces the locally sourced, the handmade, the ethically environmental and entrepreneurial. And those are really the types of students that we graduate. So our students feel very much at home in Portland once they graduate. We have about 40% of our students from the Washington, Oregon, California area, and about 60% from the rest of the country, with a few international students. So that location in Portland was one. The other thing that I think is really important about OCAC in the context of higher education, being a college, is its small size. We have just about 200 undergraduate and graduate students, and that is quite small. We are mentor-based. Our faculty works very closely with students, and because of that small class size, the students very quickly become peer mentors to each other. It gives them a sense of engagement and empowerment that really serves them well in terms of organizing projects, collaborating, working well with others outside the academic area. And it is those characteristics that I think are the real strength of the college today.
And Carl, you, as I mentioned, are the chair of the MFA in craft program. So is that a newer part of the curriculum? Or talk a little bit about what that is and what you do in that area.
The program is new. We just started. We're actually graduating our first class this spring. So after 2 years of study. To describe the program, it's basically a typical Master of Fine Arts studio practice with a political modifier of craft put upon it. And it's trying to kind of create a space or making space or making ecology that kind of privileges a sensibility of a craft strategy. And that possibly is a focus on, you know, converting materials into form and meaning. And what does that type of focus mean? So that's mostly what we're working through with the students.
And when you describe that, is there a way that you can describe what the difference would be between that focus and the focus of an MFA that's not based in craft, if I'm interpreting that correctly?
Well, I think this is always an issue with any type of MFA that has a defining principle behind just a simple title, Master of Fine Arts. But our particular focus is just try to investigate or have a deep inquiry into what is that act of converting material, what is that process, and to kind of pay attention to the fact that there is a historical precedent to craft. There is a contemporary practice that is persistent and continues, even with a conflation or confusion between the outcomes. So the outcomes from a master's student working in design or a master's student working in craft or a master's student working in a traditional art form. All those objects in the end may be easily confused. But with a master's degree, what we're doing is we're really intellectualizing practice. So a lot of the hard work the students do while they're making their work is also understand how their work exists within the context or how they position their work within a specific context.
Mm-hmm. Now, how about the region? You mentioned the location of the OCAC and the value of craft in our culture, in our region. Is that something that drew you to the area, perhaps, Denise? And maybe you could talk a little bit about what you see that role of craft in our region.
Absolutely. That's a really interesting observation. There, as I get to know more people in Portland and have informal conversations, as well as my general understanding before I came, I thought that there was a real embracing of the handmade before I came, and certainly there is. People really value the fact that someone, and in Portland it's usually someone they know, has made an object. Whether that is a one-of-a-kind object or whether that is something that is going to be mass-produced, the fact that someone has designed it in the initial stages and then carries through with it is something that is really valued here. Of course, the history of the arts and crafts movement was quite strong in the Pacific Northwest. It had pockets of interest in the rest of the country, but the Pacific Northwest was really one of the strongest areas as it moved from mostly what was Britain at the time, Scotland, Ireland, England, across the Atlantic to the U.S. It really found a strong home here in the Pacific Northwest. So that has certainly persisted. And you find a lot of collectors of materials that would be normally associated with craft. You find a lot of people with ceramic collections, a lot of people with glass collections. Of course, we have Bullseye glass in Portland, which is internationally known. So there are these materials that are associated with craft that have a great deal of respect in the community. And beyond the Portland community, what we're seeing in fine art, in the fine art world today, is that artists are no longer identified as painters or people who work with ceramics or people who work with glass. Rather, they have a studio practice. And there are a number of people who come to mind. Fred Wilson works a great deal in glass, but you wouldn't call him a glass artist. He's an artist. Josiah McElhaney, the same thing. Rosemary Troikle, Sheila Hicks, are all working with what are considered traditional craft materials, but they're doing it in a fine art context. And they're not referred to as craftspeople or craft artists. So that embracing of working across media, of really finding the medium to best express your idea, is something that we're seeing internationally. But to go back to your question, here in Portland, we really see, I think, an understanding in the community of the inherent qualities of each material and the support of that.
Mm-hmm. Well, what you just mentioned about those artists and how they are not seen as, quote-unquote, a crafts person, even though they might work in a material that has been considered crafts. I'm interested in the dynamic in the whole art and craft world and how someone is perceived, because many people are only perceived as a craftsperson in their particular area, and then some people manage to be perceived not as that. How does that happen?
Well, I'm not sure that that's mappable.
Yeah.
And a lot of it has to do with motivations and marketing and any number of variables that are kind of nearly impossible to worry. But I think that the creative or the person that is making object or image, they have a lot more agency than we tend to award them. And it's kind of how they want to position the work. And certainly there's barriers, and certainly there's prejudices, but just as part of being in a society. And so it is not easy to say why some ceramicists are called artists and some ceramicists are called potters, but I'm not as worried about that as I am about the motivation or the creative intent behind the work.
Expand on that a little bit. What is your interest in the motivation? Talk a little bit about that.
Well, when I think about craft, oftentimes the most common way to assess something as a craft object is looking upon it and recognizing some sort of function or familiarity. And I'm less interested, and my students and I kind of focus on an inquiry that's less interested in just a refinement of object or image that operates in a recognizable way, that as craft is. We don't disavow that. There's plenty of people that do work within that, but that's not our focus. Our focus really is just, what is the investment, and I use the word motivation, of a creative strategy that embraces a craft dialogue that includes a historical knowledge, but also a contemporary idea of moving or positioning object and image into a culture and society that may not function or operate in the exact same manner that it historically did. It's just evolving, you know. So it's kind of a political act to throw a pot, because we don't need any more teacups. We can go buy them. And so if a creative decides to spend the time and energy to actually make an object, then they're making a statement of some sort. And whether that statement is high on their hierarchy of intent or if it is lower is something to kind of have some fun looking into.
And so seeing a whole spectrum of the ways that people could approach making a cup?
I think so. I think spectrum is a great word because there's a spectrum. I talk with my students a lot about craft kind of occupies a making space that is one step past the naive move and one step shy of the masterful move.
Interesting. And I was reading some things about the differentiation between art and craft, and one thing that I read said that the role of the artist didn't really emerge until maybe 1400 or so, and so that separation was not there, and in fact in certain cultures there still isn't that separation, and in certain languages there's not that separation. So I just found that interesting and didn't know if that works into the kind of things that you talk about in at OCAC or in your classes, Carl, for instance.
Well, most of the classwork, almost all the classwork, is seminar-based, which are long conversations. And so language becomes infinitely important. And we, whether we like it or not, are shackled with certain descriptors in art and craft design, or different types of descriptors of creative strategies or creative output. And those words are very blurry, at times are used very lazily. So kind of spending the time and sussing that out. Some other languages don't have that same burden, or cultures have a different acceptance of creative output. But we operate in the one that we have, and it's kind of fun. I find it actually kind of not fatiguing to kind of discuss these different words, but to actually have some fun and an opportunity to kind of see where one can go when looking through those words, or kind of sussing out when you use the word craft, what are you thinking of? Or if you decide that your practice is an artistic practice, then what does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
And for a student, certainly seeking an MFA, they forming a presence is more important than just about anything else, a presence in their decision making. And so if they decide to position their work within a fine art context or within a marketing context or et cetera, that's more interesting than me deciding which one they should go for.
Okay, so forming a presence is, to a certain extent, an identity, a way of seeing yourself as a maker of things.
Possibly tied up with intent and ownership of decisions that are being made.
Okay. I'm speaking with Denise Mullen, president of Oregon College of Art and Craft, and with Carl Berkheimer, chair of the MFA in Craft program at OCAC. Both are practicing artists. Denise, your practice is in bookmaking and a couple...
Printmaking, photography, and book arts,
okay.
Yes. But... It's a somewhat nascent activity right now.
Uh-huh. So, because you're
focused mostly on the college.
Mm-hmm. And Carl, you were head of the Wood program before this, is that correct?
Yes, I joined OCAC in 2006 as the department head for the Wood program.
We were talking about issues about craft, and we're talking about an upcoming conversation on craft that is happening at OCAC this Thursday, and let's talk about this public forum. It's at 7 p.m. at the college on Thursday evening, and were you the organizer for this event, Carl?
Well, it was kind of an idea born out of the seminar discussions that we were having around the table and during the MFA classes.
Mm-hmm. And who are the people participating in it?
The moderator is Howard Rosati, who was he's a professor emeritus in art theory and art history from Virginia Commonwealth University. That's where I did my graduate work, and I actually studied with Howard. And this is kind of one of those really nice opportunities where now that Howard's retired and in some ways trying to carry on some of the ideas that he started, to have an opportunity to invite him back and to kind of have a spotlight within the program that I'm now running is a nice opportunity. So he's working as the moderator. And then the other participants are all artists in residence at the campus this semester. They include Don Crow, a painter from Richmond, Virginia, Anna Gray and Ryan Wilson Paulson, who are local artists, Jeffrey Mitchell, artist, ceramicist from Seattle, Sarah McDermott, who is also at school right now teaching in the book arts program, specifically papermaking, and Ben Buswell, a local artist who teaches a sculpture at Rock Creek.
And the moderator, the fellow that you studied under, he has written a pretty important book about craft. Can you talk about his work and what you envision that he might bring to this conversation?
Howard wrote a book called A Theory of Craft that came out in 2009. It's in its second reprint, I think. It is an interesting and important book because there is not a lot of large writings about craft, and especially what Howard's trying to do is position craft as a distinct creative strategy or creative intent that can exist outside of a fine art practice or outside of a design practice. He's working, the book's received both critical acclaim and distraction. Howard is working from an art historical point of view. Howard's looking at function as a real notation for something being a craft object or not. And, looking at the idea of when does an object start functioning as a design object? How does that happen? That the teacup, when does the teacup go from being a craft object to a design object?
Hmm. Is there any consensus on that?
Well, there's usually no consensus. But I think Howard is operating from a lot of historical ideas about what is the intent of the maker, and when the intent of the maker is to function merely within a machine of creation where they're not really conceiving the object or image, but merely participating in its outcome, then the object or image starts shifting more to possibly a stronger mechanical reproduction, where possibly we're moving into a realm of a commodity or a design object, as opposed to a more considered designer thinker, mm-hmm. a maker that is also conceiving at the same time as they're making. These ideas are really fuzzy, and because they're the gray space between, the ceramicist sitting in their studio by themselves making a pot versus a creative designing a beautiful teacup and then going through a practice of finding somebody to actually output it. I mean, both are very creative acts, and so we don't want to get into a distinction of value that one is more valuable than the other. It's just different creative strategies.
And when you use the term creative, I mean, as a noun, can you explain that term? Is that synonymous with maker or artist, or is that there's some reason you use that term creative?
Well, I think there's a contemporary struggle to figure out if there's other words to talk about being a maker or a creative or an artist or a designer, because there is so much confusion around those words. And at times, certainly in an academic conversation, we're trying to create spaces of making or of creation that are not necessarily already loaded with value judgment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And going back to the 70s, it was at that point a little presumptuous to refer to yourself as an artist. And so coming out of graduate school at that time, people referred to themselves as painters or printmakers or ceramicists, and they were very clear distinctions. There was also an unwillingness in academia and even in the gallery system for makers or artists to cross media boundaries. And today, there's not only a willingness for that to happen, but a real desire for that to happen. So I think that's, Carl, I don't know if you would agree with this, but I think that's one of the real strengths of OCAC, is that we have this craft philosophy that allows us to move from a fine art methodology to a design methodology and really encourage cross-media exploration so the students don't feel that they're locked into one medium. They understand what it means to work in a medium to obtain a level of mastery, which you don't often get in other BFA programs. But they also understand that they can take that information into other media areas and be able to work there. And I think that's something that sets up a very interesting, healthy academic environment. You don't have the splits in the curriculum. You don't have the divisions among the faculty. And that, from my standpoint of being in administration, is a real pleasure. And the ultimate determination of the success of a program is the work that the students do. Mm-hmm. And of course, I'm a little prejudiced, but I feel like the work that comes out of the programs at OCAC is very strong, both from a fine art standpoint and a design standpoint, and from the standpoint of craft in terms of mastery of materials.
So mastery of materials is something that you would get in a program at OCAC, and you might not get in a program that is less focused on that particular skill.
I would say mastery of materials. Carl would probably define mastery in a different way.
How would you define it?
I tend to shy away a little bit from the word of mastery. I think that there's something really exciting about a craft program that is probably surprising to most people, but the idea of craft being foundational does provide a lot of opportunities. It's kind of learning a language before being a poet, or learning an instrument before playing jazz. So this idea of like having a foundational place that builds a confidence in this case, a student's voice, but also I kind of find it very comforting in my own practice to have a capability that I can continually turn to, and I can push against it, and I can make some very unmasterful things because I have this foundation that I can utilize.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, we only have a few minutes left. I have many possible questions for you that I'm not going to get to. Sorry about that. I have to come to this discussion and maybe hear some more about this, but is there anything that you feel is important to say, either of you, that we haven't touched on in this interview a short time about conversations on craft or the school itself?
Well, I think the conversation on craft Thursday night is us trying to expand upon the seminar base of our MFA, and just having the MFA students and guests having a chance to exchange ideas. There's no desire to solve any definition or to figure anything out. It's just to enjoy an opportunity to have a critical discourse surrounding all the prejudices and ideas and stuff that exist around craft. And I think that would be very helpful. I don't know that craft really deserves to be in any different category than any other creative act. And so this conversation is just trying to exercise that.
Right.
And the conversations on craft are a component of our larger connection, tradition and innovation speaker series. We've brought to Portland a number of artists, designers, and thinkers over the years, including Alfredo Jarre, Sandy Chilowich, Dana Schutz, Anderson and Anderson, architects from the Bay Area, to look at this idea and to have a conversation that looks at craft in the context in the contemporary world.
Great. Yes, and I remember the one thing that I didn't get to was the idea of beauty, which is mentioned mm-hmm. In your description of this discussion. So, sorry about that for my own interest, but I think that's a very interesting issue to talk about related to art and craft these days.
It's fascinating. Come on Thursday, we'll talk about it.
Okay. I want to let people know that This has been Art Focus. I'm Kathleen Stevenson. I've been speaking with Denise Mullen, president of Oregon College of Art and Craft. Denise, thank you very much again for coming
Pleasure.
In.
Thank you.
And also with Carl Berkheimer, chair of the MFA and Craft Program at OCAC. Thank you.
Thank you.
And again, that event is this Thursday, 7 p.m. at OCAC. This is Kathleen Stevenson for Art Focus. Stay tuned for Buscando America. If you want to listen to this program again or miss part of it, it will be available on our website a little later today. That's kboo.fm.
Portland school board elections are May 19th. What's your question?
I'm Sharon Maxwell. I am a native of Portland, Oregon, born and raised in Northeast Portland. I am a product of the Portland Public Schools, and my question is, what is their commitment to children and families to make sure that children and youth of color are valued for their ability to learn and do well?
Tune in to KBOO April 27th through 30th at 5:45 for special school board election coverage.
Daddy, las mamas están aquí para darles información, música y diversión con el show de Mujeres Bravas, los domingos desde las 12 hasta la 1:30 de la tarde.